This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 7th of March, 2024. Quick summary, what's going down in Georgia? Monday the 4th, President Zurabishvili wasn't having it with the new election code amendments passed by Parliament, so she vetoed them. She's handed back an 11-page document explaining why, mainly saying that changes don't follow the advice from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE, and its election watchdog, the Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, ODIHR. With the modifications, she has no say in picking the Central Election Commission members, which is exactly why Otsneva tried to pass them. On Monday the 4th, Nika Gvaramia, a big name in Georgian politics and media, who's been unjustly imprisoned by Otsneva for being the head of an independent TV station, he shared that he's been in long discussions with Nika Melia, key figure formerly from the United National Movement, or NACEBI, about joining forces for future plans. Melia has chosen number 4, tied to the State for People movement, now led by Nika Machutadze, but founded by Pata Burchuladze, the famous opera singer. On Friday the 1st, according to Geostat, Georgia's fuel import price hit 81 cents per liter this year. January saw nearly 99,000 tons of oil and oil products coming into the country, costing around $82 million. Interestingly, fuel from Russia, which is under international sanctions but makes it into Georgia anyway, fuel from Russia turned out to be the cheapest, averaging 72 cents per liter. On Monday the 4th, the Global Terrorism Index, or GTI, said that Georgia is relatively safe from terrorism, ranking it at 89 out of 163 countries listed, where the lower the rank, the safer the country. While the report noticed a bit of an uptick in terrorism-related deaths globally, it also mentioned fewer attacks happening overall. On the same day, Irakli Kharabashvili, member of the Georgian Dream, or Otsneva, tried to portray a close relationship between Otsneva and the United States, several meetings, calling them Georgia's number one ally. After a meeting with the ambassador, he tossed around the idea of letting people vote online from abroad so that migrants can have their say in the elections. This would be interestingly. Currently, Otsneva has Georgia using electronic tabulators, but there is still a paper record of the vote. Will voters from Georgia abroad have the same? Because this is very different from actual electronic and therefore hackable voting machines. Unclear. Speaking of the U.S., on Monday the 4th, Goga Khaindrava, Georgian film director and famous loudmouth, reached out U.S. Ambassador Robin Dunnigan with a letter concerning the incarceration of Georgia's former president, Misha Saakashvili. Khaindrava is requesting the ambassador to verify whether the FBI had alerted Georgia in 2007 about a coup plotted by Russia. This relates to comments Saakashvili made at the time regarding his government's response to the opposition protests. Khaindrava, as always, is posturing and is unlikely to get much of a response, but lots of people in Georgia care about this because he and others are making lots of noise about it, which is the point. On Tuesday the 5th, Levon Yoseliani, Georgia's public defender, raised concerns about a draft law against pseudo-liberal values. No joke, this is a real draft law. And LGBT propaganda. Indeed, really a draft law. Since it threatens equality and freedom of speech and directly contradicts EU values, that's why the public defender said, please tell us what's going on here. Going back to news about Zurabishvili, on Monday the 5th, she and her Icelandic counterpart decided to strengthen ties. They touched on Ukraine, how to handle the tension in Georgia's Abkhazia and South Ossetia, about climate change, natural disaster management, tapping into Iceland's know-how for facing big environmental challenges. Following up on President Zurabishvili's emphasis on the importance of international support for Georgia's geopolitical standing, President Johansson threw his weight behind Georgia's aspirations, notably NATO integration, his stance on supporting small nations and condemning aggression, especially in the context of Russia's actions in Ukraine, aligns with Georgia's challenges. Johansson's visit not only signifies a deepening of bilateral ties, but also placed a spotlight on collective efforts to uphold international laws and support nations facing external pressures. On Tuesday the 5th, there was a significant meetup between Otar Shamugia, Georgia's Minister of Environmental Protection and Agriculture, and Roland Price, World Bank's Chief for the South Caucasus. They discussed current and future projects aiming to boost agricultural environmental protection in Georgia. This meeting signals promising developments for Georgia's green sector, strengthening its ties with an influential global partner. On Monday the 4th, a tragic incident occurred in Terjola municipality where four young people drowned in the Zusa River in the village of Zeta Sazano. The incident began when one person fell into the river. The others jumped into the water to help, but unfortunately were swept away. Rescuers from the Emergency Management Service recovered the bodies. Still, one more person jumped into the river to help, had to be rescued, and was hospitalized. On Friday the 1st, Archpriest Gheorghe Mamaladze's health took a dramatic turn as he was evacuated to Istanbul for medical attention. He became a controversial figure due to his arrest 7 years ago on suspicion of attempting to poison a high-ranking member of the Georgian Orthodox Church, which led to his conviction for attempted murder. Friday the 1st, Georgia welcomed back a treasure trove of 90s conceptual abstract impressionist paintings by Iliko Zautashvili, thanks to Vera Gallery. Zautashvili, a major player back then, is known for his bold experiments and deep dives into Georgia's cultural identity. If you're interested, exhibition curated by Dr. Khatuna Khabuliani at the gallery. Saturday the 2nd, 85,000 art lovers made their way to check out Niko Pirosmani's work at the Baehler Foundation in Switzerland. This exposition, covered by the Financial Times and Le Monde, was a team effort by the Georgian Ministry, Baehler Foundation, and the Louisiana Modern Art Museum and Infinite Arts. They've made an interactive web page, which is supposedly an impressive look into Pirosmani's world. And that's it for this week. We want to invite you to take a look at one of Rorschach's other projects. The Daily Knowledge is a daily pocket newspaper that comes out Monday through Friday. It's in our zine format, a little booklet that you have to print in order to read. The Daily Knowledge, our zine, you will find a collection of interesting newsletters, selected articles. It takes about an hour to read. Visit rorschach.com/ourzine/thedailyknowledge. Find the latest edition. Link in the show notes. Nachmanis.